UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on the V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
I am Mike Pratt, waiting for my partner, Bob Valvano, who's a little behind due to some incidents he had to deal with, which we all have to deal with. Friday's a tough day to deal with them, though.
I feel like I can say them on the air. I feel like I can say them on the
air. We'll go right
ahead. We're an open book here.
Yeah.
Anyone who's a pet owner. Our doggies, they weren't entirely regular. So they needed some extra care this morning.
No, most of us are not.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. That's a darn good point. Today's topic, the importance of fiber.
I love it.
Yeah, but you had to give a little TLC to the pooches and clean up maybe a mess or two. So, but he's not too far away.
Well, that's good. That's all good, Nick. Fast Break Friday wouldn't be the same without Bob. And we'll get him here pretty quickly. Now, Mr. Nick, what have you guys been talking about this week? I miss most of the shows, but
well, it's been a little interesting. We did go down some rabbit holes with We Want to Know Wednesday, and also it was the Ocho this week.
Oh yeah,
so a lot of obscure sporting events going on, and we talked a little bit of football. You're starting to wind down the summer. Silly season of kind of summer radio topics, and you're kind of getting into football. We didn't talk a ton of NFL stuff. Yesterday.
Well, speaking of that, did you see my pumpkin heads?
Yeah, looking good.
How about that,
Baker Mayfield marching down the fields.
He played one series,
66 yards, right?
Yeah,
right down. Yeah, nine plays, just marched down the field.
And his two leading receivers were not in the game.
Yeah.
Due to injuries and whatnot. He took them right. Then he walked out and said, see you later.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty baller move, and I'd expect nothing less of Baker. But at the same time, it's preseason. You're not going to see a ton of action. Kyler Murray was in action. I think a little bit. I forgot what his stat line was. But
he had a nice opening game.
Yeah, I think he played about a drive, about the same that Baker did, maybe a little more. I'm not sure. But it was a little bit less yardage, but still impressive to see him. I feel bad because I don't want to be like too snarky because I am excited football's back. But like the TV, we had it on here at the station, and Mitch was watching one TV, and Process was watching another, and we were airing some NFL preseason action on sister station 93.9 The Bill. And then, the Reds were over here getting their butts kicked by the Cubs on 680, 105.7. So there's a lot of sports going on, and I remember just hearing the voice, and in 5 minutes, you'll see the debut of Kyler Murray in preseason action. And part of me was just like, cool, neat, awesome. And they mentioned the first player to ever get drafted in the first round of the baseball MLB and NFL draft. And I was like, neat. And then it was like, in preseason action, I was like, and you lost me. It was just like a real big buildup for kind of just like, oh, yeah, by the way, it is NFL preseason.
And to your point about Kyler Murray, he was drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
Okay. And he played. Didn't he play a year or so minor league? Maybe not.
But I'm not sure. I think that was the big discussion on whether or not who's going to dance with.
Tell you, I think it's a great example. He chose football, right? I think it's a great example of how people don't really understand the draft and what the value is in the draft. The whole value, whether you're a first rounder or a fourth, fifth rounder, is your upside and what they can get out of you long term, particularly early, no question about it.
But right.
Don't you think that he would have chosen MLB over the NFL if he really thought – he had a shot to get to the bigs quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was one of those like the maybe the long it was one of those like the long term sensible option would maybe be the MLB. You potentially could have a longer career doing that. I mean, you have what 4 years on your rookie deal before you can get the big money in the NFL. So it's basically four prove it years, which we've seen not always these guys can put up four consistent years. Dak Prescott comes to mind, the guy who tore it up and then was mediocre and now is approaching the end of his rookie deal, and they don't know if they're going to keep him or Ezekiel Elliott or Amari Cooper, and it's a all these things are up in the air. And then there's also the whole guaranteed money thing. I mean, isn't that kind of one of the major things that it's not all guaranteed in the NFL?
That is correct. And baseball will give you $4 or $5 million up front if you're a first round draft choice. They're going to give you a ton of money up front, and then you'll have nice money later on. But they pay up front that signing bonus,
Yeah.
And I think that because of that, you got to really look hard at MLB. Plus, it is a long season, but the longevity, they got guys playing late into their 20s, probably to 35, playing a whole bunch of baseball. And it's not a bad way of life. I think that if I thought I could get to the bigs in a couple years, I'd have to choose that over football.
Yeah, I mean, and he was a stud, so you got to think that, yeah, he definitely could have done that. But, I mean, maybe it's just it's shinier at first in the NFL with the endorsements and everything. And who's to say he can't go back and play baseball? Not saying that, he could, but Pops enters the studio and almost falls out of the chair.
He's got a bad chair.
Yeah. Oh, that is the bad chair. In terms of – so he's going to sit on a stool. All right.
Here you go. Here you go, Pops. Get your chair.
All right. All right. I see you. Yeah, no, that's the bad chair. You kind of sit on it and you kind of sink.
Good guy, bad chair, right?
Yeah, good guy, bad chair. There you go.
Did you see where the Bears played their exhibition? They didn't play one of their starting players on either side, and they were working on their kicking game. Now, how would you have liked to pay the money for that exhibition game and find out later on none of the starters on either side of the ball are going to play?
Did you see what Ron Rivera did, by the way?
No, I didn't. I missed
it. Bob Valvano, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome in. Ron Rivera, the coach of the Panthers, knew that the Bears are trying to find a kicker. So he deliberately, even though the game was not in doubt, called a timeout to recreate icing the kicker for them. Remember, the 43-yard field goal is what they missed last year. That's the guy, the double boink, whatever they called it, the double doink shot. And they released him, and he's actually had guys in camp kicking just 43-yard field goals, trying to recreate it because he wants guys to have confidence that the kicker will come through this year. So Rivera knew that. He played for the Bears. And so they were running this guy out, and it happened to be exactly 43 yards. So all of a sudden, Rivera calls timeout, and after the game, they asked the Bears coach, and they said, did you guys set that up? He said, I had no idea, but I'm grateful he did it. That was a cool thing. That's the kind of stuff I like in exhibition.
And the kid made it.
And the kid made it. Knocked it right down Broadway. So believe me, he scored a lot of points with that. No question about that. So, yeah, exhibition football. One game next week, and they should be done. Then they should play for real. Because it's just a way to get money from fans to buy season tickets to have to buy two more home games. It really is, because you can't tell me they got anything out of. I mean, Eli Manning threw one pass for 3 yards. You think he's getting anything out of this? He doesn't need exhibition games. Now, you could say, well, how about guys trying to win a job? Two games are enough to show. It would, that you've got training camp, and then they have sometimes these joint practices, and then you play two exhibition games, and that's it. Then let's play. If you're going to put guys in harm's way, at least make it mean something.
And you're doing a lot. You see a lot more of the joint practices between teams, okay, which could serve a big purpose versus – taking money for an exhibition game. But basketball went through this back in the day, Bob.
They used to have so many exhibition games. I remember that.
15 games?
Yeah, I remember that. It was like a half a college season.
We played the Pacers all over Indiana and Kentucky, and everybody did. Now I think they're limited to 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And so you go to training camp, you do things, and you don't get people hurt. You got 4 exhibition games, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that, especially in football, they're so concerned with head collisions and blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you're going to do that, why do it in a situation where you're there's nothing on the line? So, by the way, did Kentucky win yesterday? Kentucky in the Little League World Series. It was tied
rain delay
at three.
And they're playing today.
Oh, it was rain delayed?
It was a rain delay. I tried to get it on the television. I think they were going to play today.
Oh, good. I hope so.
Who are they playing?
They were playing.
It wasn't Iowa, was it? No.
I don't know.
It's a regional thing, so it would be a state around here. Who the hell were they playing? I don't remember. It was not Indiana.
Bowling Green. I know the teams from Bowling Green.
Silver Creek qualified, you know.
Did they?
Silver Creek has had a heck of a year. They won the state basketball championship. Their Little League team qualified to be the representative in the Little League World Series. Now, maybe they've gotten beat already in the regional. I don't know. But they qualified.
I don't think they're – well, they could have, but I think they're closing in to the end of the regionals.
Yeah,
this
so they might be out already.
Wait, so they were basically the Indiana representative?
I don't know. I just know they qualified for the Little League World Series. What does that mean? So did they win the state? I don't know. I guess so. I imagine. I don't know. Let's go to the phones.
Dang. Jamie and I leave that place, and it gets better athletically. Who'd have thunk it, Mike?
Well, take those big bats out of the lineup, you wouldn't think.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Nick was one hell of a bunter.
Nick.
I was actually at one point
he was truly, honestly, as crazy as that sounds. One time they did what coaches tell you to do. If a guy's going to sacrifice, they tell you to throw a fastball at his head, basically.
Man, I played AAU
with this kid. Rather than get out of the way, I've never seen a guy do this before. He took the bat and turned it perpendicular to the ground and got the bunt down.
Nick, he did.
Yeah. He turned the bat, got it down, jogged to first. I was like, damn, I don't know how you did that, son. But that was
homie. I played hockey. I see pucks coming at my face. We're good.
Were you a catcher?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You looked like a catcher.
Aww,
I would have bet that, man. You got catcher written all over you.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, he was an innovative catcher.
I had the minimum number of at-bats you needed to qualify for rankings in the state, and I went like 8 for 10 or whatever. Ooh. And so I was batting like 800, so I was like, I had like the seventh highest batting average in the state. Granted, I only had 10 at-bats, but yeah. I should have got that plaque.
Should have played time. Coach was messing with his game, Mike. Coach be messing with his game, man. Didn't he wouldn't give him no chance. Run. He wouldn't give him no run, man. He'd be messing with him. He would just mess with him, man.
Yeah. I don't understand why the coach doesn't like me.
I don't understand that, man.
Well, I got to ask you guys. The other day, this is serious now. The other day on ESPN, I don't know, it was 30 for 30, the Nick Bonacani talked about Nick Bonacani and his son.
Yeah, his son was paralyzed.
Raised all that money. Yep. And yeah, I recommend that to you on ESPN and our listeners. This guy Bonacani.
He was a brilliant guy.
He
went to law school part-time when he played with the Patriots, got his law degree. I'm a little disappointed in this. At one time, he represented the tobacco industry, which
yes,
is fine.
Did.
But he was one of the leading proponents claiming that the medical studies that said it was bad for your health were bogus.
But he wasn't alone. A whole bunch of people did that.
Yeah, Nick, not good.
No, not good at all.
Not good there, Nick. Back the wrong horse there.
Later on in life, Bob, he disavowed.
Good.
He disavowed. But it's a very interesting, and here's what I think is so interesting. His son, both his sons played football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the one was at the Citadel when he broke his neck and was paralyzed. Well, the big CTE thing in the NFL, well, his son is paralyzed in a wheelchair, and he started the foundation that's brought back brought attention to this and raised a lot of money. You know how Nick died? With CTE.
He did.
Yeah. I didn't know that either, and I'm watching
Well, I know
this
he, did, he donated his brain to science,
yes,
and they found out he had CTE.
Yep. Yep.
I'll be honest with you. I think if you played more than 5 years in the NFL, I would bet there's more of a chance you have it than you don't. That's pretty sad to say, but I think that's really I don't know what the answer is to that because I really have a hard time. I know people say I don't care, I just want to be entertained. They know what they signed up for. Okay, maybe. I can't say everybody knew signing up when they played football. They wouldn't be able to know their own name in 15 years. But on top of that, I mean, I'm just the weird guy. Like, when I went to the circus, I didn't want the trapeze guys to be working without a net. I wanted to know if the guy missed the ball,
didn't make any sense.
He was going to land, and they would say, oh, try it again, instead of, hey, get a mop. We gotta clean up on aisle five. It's the same thing. I don't want to watch football games. I know these guys are killing themselves by playing.
And now they make so much money, they rationalize it's worth the money. And you can build a case for that.
I don't know.
You can. I'm not saying I agree. But
if you can't recognize the difference between a $1 bill and a $10 bill in 10 years after you're playing because your brain is fried eggs.
That's the other side of the coin, too. But when Bonacani played, they didn't make that kind of
money. No, they didn't. No, well,
he was playing for the love.
That's true.
And he wanted to get into his retirement with 15 years, I'm sure. But as far as money.
That's a good point.
I mean,
they made decisions that were much more relatable to the common fan. Like, I, you know, you talk to like my wife, thinking about, gee, should I stop teaching? How many more years do I get my retirement? That's what football players were doing. Gee, how many years do I get to, you know, I guess they got to figure out what they were going to do when they were done playing. The new players, unless they've pissed their money away, don't have to worry about that.
And as you read about the NFL, you find out for many years, and still maybe, they ignored those older players that played back then with less qualified equipment.
Yep.
They've got the same issues from that, and they kind of ignored them. And the NBA has been known to do that to players.
Yeah, too. They all did. It took a long time.
But there's
for
so much
to,
money.
That's
you can
the
share
thing
that's the
very,
money.
That's what's strange. These guys played for nothing, laid the groundwork, built the game to where now yep. it's worth all this money. You'd think part of you would want to go out of your way and say, hey, how about we extend a hand to these guys and say thanks, because yep. without them, we're not where we are. And some guys do. There are some athletes that clearly go out of their way to say that, at least, that they recognize that, you know,
but,
these
but
are the guys.
But if your union is all of that, okay, if your union is all of that, and you're charging $25,000 to join the union, and you have to join it, you
right.
have no choice, and you can't reach back and help in basketball, baseball, football, whoever, and help the older players, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are struggling.
Yeah, can I ask you a personal question? Do you get anything from your ABA days?
No.
Did you have to play a certain number of years, or how did that work?
I qualified for the years, but what has happened, to my understanding, is that when they merged, they promised to take the ABA people in.
And they didn't?
They didn't.
So none of the ABA guys get anything?
You remember Ned Licky.
Sure.
He came in here and did some work with us. Really good guy. And he is leading a charge to try to get that done. And I talked to him about a year ago about the book he wrote. I think we may have even had him on.
Yeah, we talked to him. I know he was on the show. I don't know if it was about the book, but I know we had him on.
So he was saying that he's working diligently. And I talked to Dan about this, and he doesn't get any credit for those 5 years in the ABA either.
So the ABA, if you just played in the ABA and never made a move to the NBA, you'd get nothing?
Uh-huh.
Like, but if you play in the NBA for even a year, are you I don't know, vested or whatever the term would be?
No, I think it's 3 years now.
And you played how many years in the
two.
ABA? So that, but even two-year players would be, well, two-year players wouldn't
well, everybody,
anything.
According to Nedelecki, they went back. And of course, there's, you know, half the guys are dead. Okay, so it's not going to take a lot of money to bring these
sadly.
Guys in, okay, to bring all of us in who are still alive. But, yeah, I mean, there was no union then. There was no promise of anything. Except when the merger happened, the NBA had a union. So they promised that with this merger, everybody would be included.
Then they weren't.
And they weren't. That's
well,
what I understand.
You know, there's still obviously a tremendous resentment from the NBA, for the ABA. They
yep.
forced their hand. They were in competition with these. I mean, they had the whole business to themselves for a long time, and they ridiculed the league and mocked it, and the league just wouldn't go away. And every time they turned around, they started signing great players. They got Rick Barry to come over. They, you know, some of the biggest stars were in the league that came up through the league, the Julius Irvings of the world. Now, all of a sudden, they were on equal footing, and the owners didn't like it. So I'm sure there's a part of them. I'm convinced that worked against artists, taken for as long. It's ridiculous. It took him as long as it did to get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, his credentials are 10 miles past whatever the bar should be, but since so much of that was in the ABA, I think there was a resentment about that.
Artis was telling me, we were together this past spring when we were in Jacksonville. We had lunch and visited a while, and he was telling me, well, I knew he had a 10-year contract, $100,000 a year.
With the Colonels?
Yes. And when the leagues merged, of course, his agent was Herb Rudoy, if I remember right, which was a big-time agent at the time. So he goes to Chicago, and they asked to get his contract renegotiated. They wouldn't renegotiate. He said, hey, you got 10 years, baby. You got four left on it. You got to live with it. Now, you know, he was a dominant player. And you do that to him, and you go like, wow. I mean.
The money had started to get a little bigger by the end of that time, right?
Yeah.
If he had just come into the league, he'd have been making more than $100,000 a year.
Yeah, I think maybe guys like Oscar, not my Oscar was gone, but the stars with the Celtics – And your Knicks, those guys might be making $250,000.
That's what I figure.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like made us double his. So he ends up being traded and started making money when he went to San Antonio. But you know, you gotta as you know, you've gotta pay it forward, but you also have to bring people up that may not have been treated properly. Bring them up and help them too.
Well, especially. When you look at things like football. I mean, no disrespect, but football guys, literally those guys might have been giving their lives to build the sport. I mean, when you think about, you listen to old-time players. I mean, Jerry Kramer, who wrote the book Instant Replay that I read and so I follow, I mean, he wrote, I think in the book he said he played through probably 15 concussions at least that he knows of. I mean, think about that. That guy's brain. I'm amazed he can put a sentence together. I mean, it's just, that's what they did, though. You know that. Yep. You know, they used a term for it, rung his bell. I mean, like it was just that part was of the it. Game.
And you
just
never
rung
really,
his bell.
You just never thought of a concussion and how long term, but they rang his bell. I got knocked out one time playing high school football.
Did you?
Knocked me out. I rung my bell, but I mean, I never, that was just part of the deal.
Explains a lot, though.
Well, yeah. You come back to haunt me.
That week you came in here and were convinced you were Abraham Lincoln. I knew there was something going on. That was crazy.
I got a couple things I want to talk to you
about. All right, well, let's do it. We got a bottom of the hour break, and we'll take that. But I want to tell everybody, come and see us on Sunday at Ellis Park. I want to do this before we go to break. By the way, Silver Creek Little League evidently lost their first game. They got 10 run rules. I think they were down 15-0. They played, I found it on Facebook, they played against Wisconsin. They were the state champs. And they lost, unfortunately, to Wisconsin. I think they got 10 run ruled in game one. Now, that was
damn
Tuesday.
Cheeseheads.
So I don't know if they play. What's today, Friday? Should have played a second game already. Did they get lost? Did they lose a second game? Or was that the second game? Let's take a look and see if
do they have out. A loser's
it's double
a
elimination.
Bracket?
It's okay. Double elimination. Okay. No, I think they I believe they've got they've lost their first two games. They got whacked around pretty good, I gather. So
if I remember yesterday's game was supposed to get them to the championship.
No. You're talking about Indiana or Kentucky now?
Oh, I'm talking about the boys from Bowling Green.
Bowling Green. Yeah, yes. Bowling Green. Yes. Because Kentucky is the team that beat Indiana in the first game.
Okay.
So Kentucky beat them in the first game. They went to the loser's bracket. They played Wisconsin in the loser's bracket, and Wisconsin thumped them pretty good, too. So they didn't have the greatest experience there. I think they got 10 run ruled both games. But they made it. They're the state champs.
Yeah. Yeah.
First time ever. Good for them. You hang a banner up. I'm sure the kids will get rings because everybody gets rings now. I'm amazed at that. Guys go to softball tournaments, senior softball tournaments, over 70 softball tournaments. They come back, they get a ring. I don't know. I think it's great. I'd love to get a ring, but I find that rather interesting.
Do they give you a ring?
For doing what?
At Louisville, when they go
to the Final Four?
Yeah,
they did every year but one. The one year they gave us Final Four. One year they went to the Final Four, and they said you can buy a ring if you want. And I said, I'm not buying myself an award, so I didn't do it.
Right.
But then every other year they have. We've gotten one for the two Final Four, the national championship, and then the other two. Because they went three times. How many times did they go? I lost track. They went three, right?
They went
when
two,
Rick was there,
they went
back to
12,
back.
They went 12, got beat, and they went 13
and 1. And then they went once before.
Did they?
Yeah, they went early on. Remember that surprise team? Was it Francisco Garcia and all those guys, didn't they?
Okay.
So I got a ring for that. I don't think I got one for 12, but then they gave us one for 13. We could buy one for 12, I think they said. But anyway, they're beautiful rings. And listen, I'm grateful even having gotten one. I talk about that all the time. Why they give announcers rings, I don't completely understand, but I'm grateful. I mean, we don't really have, no disrespect to either one of us, we don't really have a whole hell of a lot to do with what goes on the court, but I'm grateful. It's very nice.
My sentiments are echoed. Cal's been very generous about that to Tom and I. And I cherish those things.
Oh, I do, too. They're beautiful.
Just because we were a part of, a very small part of it.
But you're part of it. It's nice
that.
when people make you feel included.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's Silver Creek. Now, let me tell you about what we're going to be doing on Sunday. I'm pretty, pretty excited about this. We're going to Ellis Park. It's the second annual cancer fundraiser. Last year, I'm not sure we were authorized yet as Kentuckiana Friends of V, but we are now. We're our own 501c3. It is going to be a fundraiser to generate funds in the fight against cancer for the Kentuckiana Friends of V. And have you seen the auction items?
There are some really good ones.
I mean, I've got to find these. Let me see. We've got. I want to read the list to you because it's absolutely amazing. Here we go. They've got the and for horse race fans, what's cool about this is Jenny coming on today, by the way?
Well, yeah, actually, I guess.
If ever there was such a V-show moment, that was it. He went to talk. He's got this. Where's the nice set of earphones I bought you?
I let your co-host use them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you lost
them.
Very nice.
Very nice.
All right, so Nick's got the one-ear one that the ear doesn't even stay on. And nope. So as he
the
went
one
to
I
answer
wore
me,
last week.
Yeah, it's nobody should have to. Yeah, I have earbuds. Why don't you use the earbuds?
All right, fine.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. We can do that during the commercial
break. So Jenny, what were you going to say about Jenny?
Well, she can come on either at 12:40 or at 1:05. What are you thinking?
What are you thinking?
105.
105 it is. All right, cool. Producing on there. I've also got a feeler out to Jameson Hensley because evidently they traded Joe Flacco.
And
I'm going to try to get him on. I have a feeler out to John Clayton. Probably not going to be able to join today because I know he's got a radio show too.
Okay.
But
never know.
Yeah.
So, all right, but anyway, because Jenny is so involved in this, she's gotten a whole bunch of horse racing, which you don't get a chance to do a lot. I mean, I hate to say it, but you'll find places where you can buy basketball memorabilia or baseball memorabilia or football memorabilia. But horse racing is a little rarer,
yep.
And she's got really cool stuff here, including, did you see the training saddle that the guy made with our logo on it?
Yesterday, yeah.
That sells for like $600. It's fantastic. That is awesome. So there's a training saddle with the Kentucky and our Friends of V logo. I don't know how he got it on there, but it looks spectacular. But there's a whole bunch of things. I'm going to read through them, blitz through them, because it's very, very cool. There's the Bellarmine Basketball Experience, a groupie doll halter, the horse groupie doll, the halter, Dennis's Moment halter, Lamar Jackson signed ball, a halter from Curlin, Anthony Davis, I think it's a signed jersey, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Kitten's Joy halter, Monomoy Girl halter. These are horses I've heard of. Mucho Macho Man halter.
Oh, yeah, you heard of those.
Yeah, I mean, these are big stars. Nyquist halter. Two tickets to the Eclipse Awards, which I might be throwing a few shekels down on that.
That would be in New York City, right?
That's like I need an excuse to go to New York. Churchill Downs Gold Room Experience.
Nice up there. It's a nice up there.
That doesn't include lap dances. That's the wrong. Wrong place. My mistake. That's Churchill Downs.
There's no poles in there.
No, I don't think so. Mill Ridge Farm. I think that's a tour. A shoe from Warfront. Horseshoes from War of Will. Play a round of golf at Standard Club with Corey Lannery and Chantel.
Sutherland.
Thank you. Lovely Chantel. She's a beautiful girl. Kentucky Downs 2019, which you and I have gone to. That's a lot of fun. Reserved seating there. It just says Mark Cuban. I don't know. You're winning Mark Cuban? Is he coming to live with you for a day, or what is that?
He's going to call you on the phone and talk trades for this Dallas team.
I like that. A Quentin Nelson jersey. That's pretty cool. Autographed Quentin Nelson jersey. Tickets to Western Kentucky and U of L football down in Nashville. Signed Chris Mack ball, which I have to thank my son for going up and hustling because I said I would get it, and then I never did.
Well, you're busy picking up dog poop, so.
I was. The saddle I told you about, very, very cool. And then millinery from Kathleen and Keegan, $150 worth of millinery from them. Plus, don't you have a Scott Satterfield ball?
I do.
So we got that's not even on here. Scott Satterfield ball. And
both of those come with media guides, by the way, which are very nice.
I love that. And hardcover
that's
media
fun. That's
and then
fun.
A Dick Vitale signed a basketball and three books for us. And he's got his own basketball. Have you seen his ball?
I have not.
It's very cool. It's got his name on it.
Does that surprise you?
No. You know what? I hope I have half. I'd like to have half his energy now. Forget about having half his energy at 80. Yeah. He is tireless.
Oh, he is. And he means so well. He wants to help people. Wants to pay it forward.
He really does. Yeah, I called him and said, listen, we're having this auction. Not a problem. Boom. I called him Sunday night. The stuff was at my door Wednesday morning. He was like, I'd drive it to you if I could. But so, that is some really cool stuff. And if you go to our website, I don't know when the auction opens on the website. Do you know?
Soon.
Is it today?
I think so. Because Ents, our boy Ents, shout out to Jason Ents for putting a lot of this together on there.
He's really doing good work with that.
Yeah, he was asking.
You know how I'm going to thank him?
How?
Buy I'm going to find tickets? Out what. Like, I should get you to do this, too. This would be hilarious. I'm going to get in one of his fantasy soccer leagues. You know, I don't even know how you score in fantasy soccer. I mean, there's only one guy who scores a goal. If you get a goal and an assist, I don't know, maybe you win.
I'm guessing it has to do with goals.
I don't know. Anyway, so I'm going to let him show me how it does it.
Auction's live.
I know.
Auction's live.
Auction's live. Coach is gone. All right, Auctions Live, where is it? There it is, right there. You go to KFOV.org, scroll down, and it says auction site. Join us at Ellis Park for a silent auction. Bidding will take place online. In addition, we'll have some special items that only those in attendance will be able to bid on. I like that format. We may use that for golf next year. I think that's a hell of an idea. In other words, there are some items that you don't have to come to the track to bid on, but there's some that you can only bid on if you're at the track. That'll make Norman happy because he likes the pen and paper
auctions. He does. And I thought they were all – I thought we had some that were not – online, Bob. I guess I missed that. They were all
just
online.
A live auction. But that was live auction. Yeah. These are all going to be silent auction, but some you can only bid on if you're at the track.
I'm with Norman. I kind of like the paper.
Old pen and paper thing.
So because if I put my name there and I walk back every 15 minutes and somebody beats me, and I'm going to get the last look at it so I can get my name down with whatever I'm bidding on. I like that.
Well, there's a lot of things there's no bids on yet, and I'll change that right now. There's the Eclipse Awards tickets in New York are valued at $850. The Quentin Nelson signed replica Colts jersey. The custom-made saddle, which is cool.
That is cool, but if I bought that,
I don't know what I'd do with it. I'll be honest, I didn't even know what it was.
Put it over a stool. You know?
maybe that's what I'll do with it.
Put it over a stool.
I'll buy it and put it in our house. Yeah. People will be like, are you sitting on? Yeah, sitting on my saddle again. It's very cool. Do you see the logo? Isn't the logo cool?
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
That would be very cool. There's the Western Kentucky Louisville football tickets, the Lamar Jackson. I mean, none of these things have been bid on yet because the auction literally just opened 20 minutes ago. So get online. Go to KFOV.org. And, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff here that's extremely, extremely cool. And I think that these are the actual the horse. I mean, I got to admit, there's a lot of people contributed. So I want to give thanks to those folks. But Jenny has worked her head off at this. She really has.
She has.
I mean, that's quite an auction.
Yeah, seriously.
How the hell did they get the picture of the Chris Mack? Did you take that picture already?
Yeah, I did that in the back.
You take the picture? You sure about that 10 minutes?
I did. I even used the filter.
Look at that. Maybe. Look at my little son doing that. Who's going to be
the old catcher? It's the old catcher.
Look at that!
Right.
He's crouching down, taking a picture.
Exactly.
You know what? You have memories of your kids in the strangest ways. Nick knows this. I love this memory. We were always thinking of the Valvano boys.
Where are we?
If you played Little League in Connecticut, where we played, for some inexplicable reason, the backstop around the batter, and you know, Little League, it's very close behind the catcher. It's only about maybe 7-8 feet behind him. It's not like foul territory in a big league game.
Not much room for a pass ball.
Yeah, those backstops, come up high because they don't want the ball flying into people's yards. But for some reason, the first 4 feet of this fence backstop was wood. I still to this day don't really understand why they did that. I would think wood would chip. I would think fence would be more sturdy, but it was wood. Well, he learned in a hurry. Little League pitchers can be a tad wild. And as soon as the ball goes by the catcher, the kids on the bases love to run because they think, woo. He would deliberately let the ball go by him and then play it off the wood. It would ricochet right back to him. So he wouldn't even try and block it. So you blocked it, it would slow it down and roll away. I would watch him. He'd get out of the way. It would go by him. The kid on first, they'd go, woohoo, take off. And then he would catch it on the fly off the wall and turn. The one thing he did have, he could throw. And he would turn and he'd throw these guys out at second by literally like 20 steps. It was like ridiculous.
Just absolutely hose them.
I was like, yep, they went to their secret play again. The fastball wild pitch off the backstop. That's the way they pick runners off in the Connecticut Little League.
That's how he got good at hockey. He played it off the
boards. That's true.
See?
Hey, speaking of the boards, I know we got to get to a break, but this is big news. If you are, you have to understand why it's big news. You hear New York and you think it's one big glob, but it's like saying Louisville. Well, Louisville is Louisville, but it's also the Highlands or Germantown or whatever. And so there's neighborhoods. They just got approved for the arena for the Islanders today.
Oh.
It just got approved. 19,000-seat arena at Belmont Park that'll be for the Islanders, and I'm sure there'll be other things there. They can't just survive on 41 home dates for hockey. But if you're from Long Island, that is a different thing. That is when the Nets and the Islanders left, there's a little sense that you were being left behind, that it's not a big league market. You know, you got to go to the borough, you got to go to Brooklyn or somewhere. It's like here, to the same degree when the Colonels left. It's a slap in the face. It says you're not a market that's worthy of having big league. So when they said this thing was built, I'm telling you, it was front page story today of the Long Island newspaper, Newsday. Hey, they just had a walk-off in the Little League. Oh, no. I thought the game was over. No, I'm sorry. They just scored a run. Sorry, I got excited about that. But anyway, that's a big story there. I wonder if they'll play basketball there, because if they do, you know who'll play there?
The
Cal.
Nets. Oh, Cal. Oh, yeah.
Cal will have a St. John's non-conference.
Of course, he'd rather be in Brooklyn.
I know, but he can
Manhattan.
Do both. Yeah, he'll do both. He'll go to Brooklyn, and then he'll go out there and play another game. So I'm very excited about that. It's on Newsday. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And Mike's got a bunch of topics, and I'm jazzed to jump in, and then Jenny Reese joins us. Top of the hour. KFOV.org, and these are not humongous ticket items. So these are things that the average Joe Jablonski can bid on. And that's
very
cool.
But there's some steals, really neat stuff.
No, there really are. I'm telling you, I'm getting on the Eclipse of tickets now, and then everyone should not bid. That's a terrible thing to say when you're trying to raise money for cancer. No, go ahead, bid. Bid me out. I don't care. Go to KFOV.org. Back with more Fast Break Friday. Stick around.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people, River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
People-friendly equipment, technology, and service for all of your print communication needs. Look no further.
Just Whistle for Duplicator Sales and Service.
Copy, scan, fax, send, or mail. Your unduplicated professionals can simplify the process with world-class network business machines from Rico and Savin. High-quality office equipment solutions and services, and the fairest possible price always for you. That's our commitment.
For today and tomorrow.
And our commitment continues from our commercial print and mailing division, Derby City Litho. Check out the 7110 Rico graphic print system, providing superior color output to include spot varnish options. Duplicator sales, Derby City Litho. Corporate mailing systems, Rico and Savin.
Just Whistle for Duplicator Sales and Service.
Phone 589-5555. Online at duplicatorsales.net. 831 East Broadway in Louisville, with offices in Elizabethtown and Lexington.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face. And there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere. Your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself in the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Like your phone, but not your service? With Spectrum Mobile, you can keep your current phone and upgrade your network. Simply pick the data plan that's right for you. Pay for the data you use, or choose unlimited for just $45 a month per line. All in. And talk and text are always free. Switching is easy. Go to spectrum.com/BYOD to learn more or to find a store near you. Spectrum Internet required. Restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line.
From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
At Witch Witch, they believe that a great sandwich has the power to make any day better. Witch Witch has launched their new favorites menu, including clubs with top quality grilled and breaded chicken, plus new shakes, including birthday cake, the famous Courtney's cookie, and yellow M&M shakes. Two area locations, 221 South Hurstburn Parkway and Old Brownsboro Crossing. Mention ESPN, you'll get a large build-your-own witch for just $6.80. Order online or download the new app. Witch Witch, superior sandwiches.
Attention all active and retired military members. Over 35 and just not feeling yourself? You may be eligible for free advanced primary care through 25again.com/military. We appreciate your military service. Get the answers you need right now, wherever you are. Take our free online survey today at 25again.com/military. You deserve a better doctor, have more energy, look and feel younger, and live your life to the fullest. Take the mystery out of your health care. Visit 25again.com/military today.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $14 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588.
It's hot.
How hot is it?
It's so hot, everybody's wearing sweatpants. No, I mean, it's hot.
How hot is it?
It's so hot, the fire hydrants are saying, here, doggy, doggy. I mean, what's up with that? Really, it's hot. It's so hot, you absolutely need to get a new jet ski watercraft and hit the water. And you're in luck because CC Power Sports in Brooks, Kentucky is making cooling off incredibly easy with the hottest deals of the year on the coolest personal watercraft in the world. During our sizzling summer clearance, CC Power Sports has discounts up to $1,500 on the jet ski SXR, STX, LX, even the incomparable Ultra 310X. Imagine yourself on the most powerful jet ski watercraft ever made, the 2019 310 LX. You can start right now and save $1,500 doing it. How cool is that? But you better hurry. Deals this hot won't last forever. CC Power Sports, just off I-65 at Brooks Road, exit 121. That's one exit south of Snyder.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Minnesota, the exit, evidently. 8-0, Minnesota leads Missouri in an elimination game in the regional. You want to be shown some? I'll show you some right here. I'll show you some. It's really not what they did.
That might be the only time you haven't grabbed yourself when you gestured. Yeah, that was probably good.
Okay. All right, Mike's got topics. Mike is lined up with topics.
Well, one, I want to talk to you about the Rich Paul NCAA deal. Let's do that after we hit Jenny Reese.
Okay.
Because you're going to need more than, 10 minutes or whatever.
Well, you obviously have more thoughts on it than I do. I think it's just silly. I think it's the NCAA desperately trying to look like they have control over things that they're shutting a barn door off after all the animals have gone, man. I mean, that ship has sailed.
But the misconception is it was lined up on Rich Paul. First of all, it was supposedly to take the guys who have a chance to come back that don't like where they're going to be drafted, which would be the second round guys, okay? They don't like that opportunity or not to be drafted at all, so they want to go back to school. Rich Paul doesn't deal with those guys. Rich Paul's at the top of the draft.
True.
He's at the top of the draft, so it couldn't be a Rich Paul deal. Now, if you think about it, guys like Dawkins, the guy that started all this and all those people, you know, I think every one of them had, from what I read, a college degree. So what's that got to do with it, you know?
More importantly, what is the purpose? In other words, do they think that if a guy has a college degree, he's more inclined to want to send kids back, like he won't give them bad advice? No sense to me at all.
The only thing I read is that they felt that they wanted to protect those guys that weren't going to be drafted or in the second round.
So okay? If you have a degree, you're ethical now, and if you don't...
Here's what I'm going to say about that particular situation. I don't care. You can say what you want about a degree. You have to let the kids have a way to get back.
Yeah.
Hockey does, baseball does. That solves the whole problem. You don't have to do something like this and have it debated whether it's good or bad or indifferent. Just say, okay, look, here's the rule. We're going to take the hockey rule. We're going to take the baseball rule. And we're going to play by it. What's wrong with that, Bob? How simple is that?
Why would you want a simple solution?
Do we have to have a commission to figure that one out?
I've said that so many times. You know that on the show that it's a system that doesn't work anymore. And rather than just say, hey, you know what? It's obsolete. Let's start from scratch. Now, they do that with products. You know, there's a phone, and they say, okay, this has run its course. That's great. Now we got a whole new phone coming out because that one, its time has passed. Well, it's the same deal for this. The NCAA's system is obsolete in today's day and age. So rather than blow it up, they keep trying to add things to it, and it doesn't make any sense. It's cumbersome, and it's nonsensical, and it accomplishes nothing. That's what it comes down to.
I don't think the NCAA was serious to start with, okay? I think they started this commission.
Rice Commission, you mean?
I think the Rice Commission, they got her name. They got some other people on that commission that they felt would give them some legitimacy, okay? And they did see some things, just thinking everybody would be happy with it, and everybody would think that, you know, they're trying to solve the problem, and they will solve the problem. And I think it was all a front by the NCAA.
Just to get people to shut up.
Get people to shut up and not to have to deal with it in real world terms.
Well, that's what I've said before. It is like a guy whose car is falling apart. The transmissions are a mess, and the engine is leaking oil, and the two headlights don't work. And what he does is he says, oh, look, I put new rear tires on. Great, okay, that's fine, but you didn't accomplish anything about what the problems were. They don't want to address what the real topics are, which are money and the empowerment of the players. They avoid both of those two things like the plague, and as long as they keep avoiding them, they can put all whatever rules they want in, but they're not going to make any sign of substantive changes.
Well, the other thing is, on the other side, they want to make it the Rich Paul rule, LeBron's partner in his agency. And, that doesn't make any sense either, because just what I said about who he represents, the way they structured this rule has really nothing to do with guys. I mean, Rich Paul gets guys that say, I'm going to the NBA, period. I'm out of here. I'm checking out. Well,
he's not getting for a guy that's on the fence that may go, may not go.
Exactly.
But here's the point. I quoted you on this. You said you didn't hear much of the show this week, so you wouldn't have known that I quoted you. I think it's part of the backlash. They resent agents right now. You said that.
Yeah.
You said that the agents have gotten so powerful.
Yep.
They're running the sport, and these owners are just trying to show, we've still got some bite. So you know what? We're just going to put rules in to make it harder for you. That, like you said, not actually doing anything of substance, just a way to push back because they feel powerless against these guys.
And they control the pro game, I think, and they're very influential in the college game, because the college kids want to get to the NBA and make a living. So it's a sad state of affairs when they don't want to deal with the problem head on and find some solutions, okay?
I'm trying to figure out how I can get a bid in here on these Eclipse tickets. I'm ready to get in. There's no bids. I want to be the first bidder. I'm all excited about that here.
Let me give you one to mull over as we move toward our top of the hour, and we have Jenny Reese coming on after the top of the hour.
Did you know?
Outside of London, there's a Rochester Catholic League or Catholic Church that is building a mini golf course in the church.
In the church?
Yeah, yeah.
They're
going to have a special day. They hope that it can raise some money and bring some people to the church. And I know how you are about your little mini golf.
Like it's a one-day temporary?
Yeah, one-day deal sometime in August.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. That?
And you set up the mini golf deal.
I know. They should have called. They should have consulted. They'll have a hard time beating our course.
I knew that would put a smile on his face.
Oh, that's a fundraiser I can get behind.
Yeah.
That's people who get it. Make it a little
in the
fun
cathedral,
to go to church.
They're going to have
how
a
great
mini
would that be?
Golf course.
We got to pay between the pews? I like to know how they're going to set that up exactly.
Just check it out. Rochester Catholic Church outside of London, England. And I don't know how they're going to set it up.
Great.
But I read that the other day and I thought about
Rochester,
you with your.
Rochester Catholic.
London, England.
Church. Mini golf. That's got to be one of the great fundraisers of all time. Bishop calls installing miniature golf in one of England's oldest cathedrals. Oh, see? And this is why people lose respect for religion. The bishop calls installing a miniature golf course in one of England's oldest cathedrals a really serious mistake. Well, and that's why nobody's in your church anymore. Seriously. When I grew up, St. William the Abbot, this is hard for people to understand around here. St. William the Abbot, my little Catholic, what were you raised?
Protestant.
Okay. I was raised Catholic, as I just said. And the Catholic church in our town, St. William the Abbot, Little Seaford, not a big town. Think about this. Just chew on this for a minute. They had a church, a regular church, which was a good-sized church. It wasn't a very small church. They had a cafeteria that the kids used for Catholic school. And they had a gymnasium. I mean, and it was a full-size, full-court basketball gymnasium. The basketball court would be filled with chairs, rows of chairs. And then you could sit on the side in bleachers that they used for when they were playing a basketball game. The church was, you know, the regular-sized church, and the cafeteria was a decent-sized cafeteria. They would have services at the school. I don't know, K through 8. I don't even know how big it was. Okay. But think about how many people went to church. They had services in all three of those. They would have only the church very early, like 7:15. Then like 8:30 would be the church and the gymnasium. Then at like 9:45 would be the church, the gymnasium, and the cafeteria. And 11:30, the church, the auditorium, the cafeteria, and the gymnasium. At 12:15, all three of them. There were like nine services, all of which were in.
How many brothers did you have?
They had maybe six priests, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, and think about that. And they were all, Mike, and if you went later, you wouldn't get a seat. Like if you went to the 12:15, because nobody likes to get up early on a Sunday, you were relegated to standing in the back. That's how back they were. I went back. There's, I think, half as many services now. And that's the indication. And then I wonder about things like this. You can say, what's that got to do with it? You know, the bishop, maybe lighten up a tad.
Just a little.
You know, just a little bit. Yeah. Make it so people might want to come to your church. Rather,
if I was there,
really
I think
somehow,
I would go there just to see what in heck it's like.
And maybe you'll find out, hey, you like, you know. Yeah. I started going to an Episcopal church because I went through a very unpleasant experience at Catholic U, which I don't want to get into. And I really lost a lot of faith in my Catholic brethren. And I went to an Episcopal church in Maryland just for some solace and absolutely loved it. And I've been a member. I was wound up being on their vestry. I was on the vestry here. And I love it. And that's what, you know, people aren't going to come back unless you get them in the door the first time, whatever the reason is. For me, it was an emotional trauma. And this maybe would be fun to go in there and say, hey, you know what? This is cool. I can relate to this. People want something that's going to relate to their lives. And, you know.
And the first-time visit is so important, as you mentioned. And so they set this up. And that was really a neat thing, I thought.
The 9-hole miniature golf course is located in the cathedral's nave, the central space where parishioners are seated, and features a model of an historic bridge at each hole, including the original Roman Bridge in Rochester and the Queen Elizabeth Bridge in Dartford. The course was funded by a Rochester Bridge Trust as a part of an ongoing program aimed at educating students about bridges and infrastructure. We're always looking for new ways to engage with young people and inspire them to take an interest in bridges and civil engineering, said the Bridges Trust manager. This was the ideal opportunity to reach out to the community, get families and fun people thinking about bridges while they have fun. Who is that harming? How, if Jesus were here, would he somehow be objecting to that?
Lighten up, Francis.
Yeah, lighten up, Francis. Exactly.
Well, they're thinking outside of the box. And
maybe you think that maybe it's the time to do that, you think?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, maybe. In this world, maybe.
How big was your church when you grew up?
It was pretty good size for back in that day. We would have two services on Sunday. I would say probably 250.
Yeah, that's considered a good-sized church. Yeah. I'm going to guess, if I put all the math together, I did this, that was probably 10 services of at least 200 people at every service. So there were about 2,000, 2,500. And now those people, I guess, go to mega churches like Southeast Christian and Northeast Christian and, you know, those humongous places that, like, are little cities that they have there. Yep. They have weight rooms and everything, and people want different things in their lives from church. You know, my father stopped going to Catholic. This is, we're really going down a wormhole here, but you know, when he stopped going to church, he stopped. He was very devout. I mean, he was an usher, and my brothers were altar boys. And one Sunday, he walked in, and they gave him a sheet, a printout, that said, "Find your salary on here, and here's what you should give us." And he was irate at that. He was like, "What is this? What do you? I mean, it's
tithing.
They tell you
what you should tithe."
Yeah, I guess that's what he was. I got you tithing right here, is what he was talking about. Sorry, because I was like, "That's not what church is about." You don't hand out printouts. I mean, you know, it's a very personal spiritual journey that you're supposed to be on, not a business transaction like that. So I understand they got bills to pay, but he never went back. He was mad.
It's funny you mentioned that. My dad was raised in the church in Belle Fountain, Ohio. He and his brother and his sister all went to church, but he goes to the war, comes back from the war. He was from 41 to 45.
Second World War?
Yep. And he wanted nothing to do with the church.
Why?
And he told my mom, he said, "I saw things nobody should see, and I don't know why they happened or anything else." And he said, I just lost interest. I didn't think. And ultimately, he came back and would go. But for many, many years, he wouldn't go.
I hope I'm not outing him. So, but it is, you know, now we're really getting into tall cotton. I didn't really know Andy Kettler very well, he and his wife, Kim. But I've gotten to know them because I don't want to say honored. I always think that's a bad word. We're making a grant in honor, I guess is a good way of putting it, of his late son, Jackson, who passed, and in honor of their family. And they are, you know, working very hard to do the same. They have their own fundraiser. We're going to join their foundation with ours and give $25,000 to the Cincinnati Children's Hospital because that's one of the few places that does research on the type of cancer that took his son's life. And I was saying that for me, that's what the V Foundation's represented. My brother and I were so close. We actually shared a bedroom until he went away to college because it was a three-bedroom house. There were five of us, so two kids had to share a bedroom. The older son gets the road by himself, and the two younger ones share one. And I still remember him teaching me when I was like 4 years old. These are the silly memories you remember. Teaching me the lyrics to Frank Sinatra's song, "Would You Like to Swing on a Star?" He wanted me to sing it with him. "Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar." And I'd sing it with him, a little 4-year-old, 5-year-old. He's 16 or 17. He was always singing. And so I loved him. And he was 47 when he died, and I don't understand it. So for me, what satisfies, well, not satisfies, but, you know, you channel that grief into trying to raise money and say, hey, maybe his life will help save some others. Andy said, because I was talking about, you know, for me, that's, you know, I think there's divine intervention, some things that have happened when we've stumbled on people who've helped us. And you say, boy, you know, and he said, Andy said, "I'm not sure what kind of relationship I've got with God right now. I'm a little..." You have your 2-year-old son taken. I don't think you walk away and just say, "Oh, shucks, that's a bad break." I would think those are the kinds of things that make you question.
A long pause after that, a long pause.
And he shared that with me, and I appreciated that. He's good people. I've really gotten to like them a lot. They were great, weren't they? He was great. He spoke.
He was excellent. I didn't have a chance to talk to him afterwards, but he really was good.
Good guy.
Yep, when you put him up front and center.
Good man, good family. So anyway, wow, that was pretty heavy stuff. But we'll take a break, and then we'll lighten it up a bit and talk about great auction stuff and a big day at the races. I'm jazzed up. Aren't you fired up? You got to show me. You win when you go to the track. You got to show me your handicapping secrets. You and Salzman, I expect you to make me some money Sunday.
Salzman's good. Salzman,
two of you guys, I expect to come back. I can use a new car.
A bicycle. I need a bicycle.
Raise enough money for a tire. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Jenny Reese is going to join us. Again, the website is kfov.org. There's one bidder on there for the Eclipse Award tickets. Guess who it is? Moi. I'm looking forward.
Right on, right on.
I hope I can go. It might be a basketball game that day. That would be typical of us. Jamie bought the Reds tickets and didn't realize he was going to be out of town on business. That's how we roll. Ready, fire, aim. That's kind of how we roll here. He's Mike. I'm Bob. We're glad you're with us here on Fast Break Friday. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our friends in Lexington, ESPN Radio there as well. Stick around. More to come.
Yeah. With UPS, Future Hugh graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future Hugh goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.